Yeah, this week a letter was put forth by the commissioners of FBS or the Football Bowl subdivision of the NCAA to, quote, temporarily waive the minimum number of sports required to be a Division I member. With me today are Kathy DeBoer, the executive director of the ABCA, along with John Sparagh, UCLA men's volleyball and USA men's national team head coach, who wanted to provide an update as to the NCAA Division I council meeting yesterday. Thank you both for joining me on this call today.
Thanks for doing this, Rob.
Yep, glad to be here.
All right, the first question for you, John, is we heard some news yesterday, particularly late last night, that came in from the New York Times that appeared to be good and that we had won in that legislative council meeting. John, can you give us an update? Are we safe?
I think we're maybe a little safer than we were the day before, but we're not there yet. And I saw some of those tweets go out, Rob, and my first instinct was actually some concern, because I didn't want people to think that we'd already won, because we still have a ways to go here. And in volleyball analogy, it's as if we've won a couple sets. And I know I talked to Kathy about this before. Maybe we were down 0-2 last week because of the 22 conferences that were supporting this measure. And obviously the situation that we're in economically, which we clearly understand. And I know Kathy's been very clear in her messaging that part of this waiver, scholarships and travel and these issues where we can cut budgets, we're empathetic and understanding of, we just don't want to cut sports. So we were probably down 0-2 last week. And then with this decision from the Division I Council, we've tied it up, but we're going into the fifth set. And you know, the fifth sets where it's all on the line this week. And so we need to keep pushing. And so when I saw those tweets, I was actually concerned that people would back off. We need to continue pushing social media, continue pushing the messages, continue the signatures at savecollegesports.com, and continue putting pressure on ultimately the board of directors that meets this upcoming week.
Now, although the NCAA Division I Council denied this initial request, there's still a legislative process that has to occur, starting with a president's meeting, which occurs this week. Kathy, can you describe this process for us?
Yeah. So the Division I Council yesterday voted to move some things forward in this list of requests that the group of five and then had asked for. That was set one. We lost that. Then we had the 22 that joined them. So all but the autonomous five conferences were supporting this entire list. And as John pointed out, there are multiple things in this list that have financial implications for Division I, and most of them are going to get a blanket waiver. What we heard yesterday from the council is they pulled out, and this was our request, pull out the suspension of sports sponsorship minimums. If you're in Division I BCS, you still have to have 16 sports. If you're in the FCS or non-football, you still have to have 14 sports. And that part of it was pulled out. And the NCAA Council said, no, that's attacking the heart of the values that we hold dear in college sports. So that recommendation now goes to the board of directors, Division I board of directors, next week. The board of directors can overturn that recommendation from the council. They don't usually do it, but we're in the fifth set, as John has used the analogy. We're at 2-2 here, and we can still go down. So we need to keep the pressure on here with social media, with signing the petition. The petition went from 600 to over 50,000 in 3 days. We need to get that number to over 100,000 by the time the college presidents deal with this.
Now, I know that you've already spoken about this on volleyballmag.com with Lee Feinswag a few days ago, but just to briefly explain what is being proposed, just so there is clarity here for the people who are watching and listening.
Yeah. So the proposal to be in the highest level of Division I, an institution has to sponsor 16 sports, and the group of five conference commissioners asked, and that's the Mid-America Conference, the Sun Belt, Conference USA, the American Athletic Conference, and the Mountain West Conference. Right? They asked that there be a blanket waiver, and they asked for it for 4 years. That's what told us that this was really a way to circumvent the legislative process, because they asked for it for that long. They asked for 4 years that they be allowed to not have 16 sports. Our point as a coalition of coaches associations, there are 18 coaches associations that banded together on this into an intercollegiate coach association coalition. And our point was, we can survive from cuts. We know there's going to be cuts. We cannot survive from extinction. Once a program's dropped, it doesn't come back. And so, council, presidents, do not allow a school to drop below 16 or to drop below 14 and stay in the division. And that's what was upheld.
Okay. So of what significance does this request have for Division I Olympic sports? And what are the specific impacts for collegiate beach volleyball and men's and women's indoor volleyball?
Yeah, I think everybody initially fears for men's Olympic sports when they hear the word cuts. And certainly I think that that's accurate. I think in this situation, it's so significant. What they're asking is so significant to go from 16 to 12 that it's inevitable that this would affect women's opportunities as well. And so I know that's why Kathy had such success in building a coalition of coaches associations, because whether you're softball or tennis at Green Bay yesterday, there's just going to be some women's opportunities that are lost. And I think women's beach has to be concerned. While that has been an incredibly successful endeavor, I just don't think anybody's immune when the cuts are as significant as proposed. And so I think it is something that we were hoping that the entire volleyball community would support, because I think we are all one family, Rob. And we were hoping to get all the signatures of whether a girl is playing. You know, is women's volleyball in jeopardy? Probably not. Maybe in some instances, but I think it would be rare. But do we need those signatures to support men's volleyball and women's beach? Yes, we do. And we need their grandparents too, and everybody else in that family and the neighbor. And so we just need to get the word out, and we need volleyball to come together and support our sport. And honestly, opportunities for all athletes. You know, Rob, you and I have young kids, and someday they may not play volleyball, shockingly enough, but they may play something else, and we want them to have opportunities to go play collegiately.
Now, John, you'd alluded to Green Bay, and just for our watchers, our viewers and listeners, what happened at Green Bay Tennis yesterday?
They cut both men's and women's tennis programs. And Kathy, you mentioned earlier that there was some other programs that have been cut in the last week. What were some of the others?
Well, in the last couple of weeks, Cincinnati cut men's soccer. The week before that, Old Dominion cut wrestling. But if you look across the landscape, of the last year, I mean, there are women's programs that have been cut. Eastern Michigan cut their softball team. Eastern Kentucky cut their men's and women's tennis team. Missouri State cut their women's field hockey team. So women's sports don't get cut as frequently as men's sports, but the days are over where women's sports are safe. You know, we need to, as a community of athletes, and as John alluded to, you know, different sports are more popular in different parts of the country. We all know that. So you're more at risk if you're an outlier, if you're in women's volleyball in the East, for instance. You know, women's volleyball may not be as popular out there as soccer or as field hockey. So with this coalition, we really tried to band together and say no Hunger Games here. Within a department here. Mm-hmm. We have to spread the pain of these cuts so that all of us can continue to have opportunities and can recover from the economic train wreck that has been caused by this pandemic.
Now, later this week is the president's meeting. And Kathy, is there any sense as to historically what's happened at the president's meeting, or is there a sense that you have on what could happen?
Well, generally, the presidents do not reverse the council. Okay. But our position, even going into it last week, about halfway through the week, there were some who were discouraged and just said, oh man, we had the group of five, then the other 22 that weren't autonomous five conferences joined them. We don't have any chance. We were down 0-2. We said, we're going to fight all the way to the end. And we did win. So we're now at 2-2. And all of us as coaches know how good it is to be filling out that piece of paper when you were down 0-2 and you're at 2-2. But we also know that that comeback does you no good if you drop that fifth set. And so we need to see this thing through this next week, continue to sign the petition that's SaveCollegeSports.com, sign the petition, and continue with social media, hashtag Save Our Sports, to let all of the presidents and the people around them know that Olympic sports are very important to the people in this country.
Well, that was going to be my last question to ask both of you, and Kathy kind of answered, but I'll ask it just for clarity's sake. What is the best way to voice our opinion and show our continued support of volleyball and other sports that are at risk at this time? And how urgent is that need?
I think it's really urgent. I think, you know, it's not only the fifth set, but what happens the first 5 points of that fifth set. And that's literally the moment we're in this weekend, which, Rob, I appreciate you doing this on short notice. I think getting the word out, getting those signatures in, and ultimately, and I know that we've been discussing this as well, influence matters in individual athletic departments. And influence is, I don't know about best, but it is certainly affected by fundraised dollars and building your donor base. And so I know with the First Point Volleyball Foundation, we've spent the week giving seminars, and Kathy was on one of them. We've had great support from the AVCA, teaching D1, D2, D3 clubs, all these groups. Basically, we've been giving them a fundraising system, fundraising in a box. Wade Girard and one of our board members, Kenny Rogers, have done a really good job of organizing a system of fundraising. I just think it's really important in this moment of need and risk that you have some influential voices that are around your athletic department that can make a difference if a decision is ultimately made. Because I think even though it appears we're on a good track, we've played good ball the last couple of sets here to tie this thing up, and it looks good. We got a lot of momentum going into the fifth set, okay? So we're optimistic. But it's also about 16 to 12. There's a lot of athletic departments that have 18, 20, 24 sports, and there still could be decisions down the road that are not good for our game. So how are we going to influence an athletic director that makes that decision down the road? And I know years ago when men's swimming and gymnastics and water polo were cut at UCLA in the early 90s, Al Skates, my mentor and dear friend, and he started fundraising, and that has protected men's volleyball in a lot of ways. And I think it can protect volleyball anywhere. And so I just encourage coaches and alumni and supporters to reach out to their respective universities, offer their support. And we understand there's some need out there right now. Food banks need it and people need it. And this certainly some people have lost jobs. But if you're in a position to support volleyball, this would be a time to make a phone call and offer your support. And to me, that's been our big area of focus moving forward this week. And I think that would be a great way to make sure we protect all the programs that we have.
Kathy, do you have anything to add? Because I know that there are some things you'd mentioned before we got on the call that in regards to boosters that John kind of alluded to in his statement. Do you want to go ahead and add on to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're, I think there is a very fundamental shift that is going to need to happen coming out of this pandemic. Higher education has been hurt so dramatically by colleges having to refund room and board, moving everything online, the uncertainty and losing summer school dollars in a lot of cases, the uncertainty of whether they're even going to open in the fall. So there's been a very, very dramatic shift. And for anybody in college sports right now to go, oh, well, I still got a job, my program's safe, when are we gonna go back to normal? I don't think we're going back to normal. The damage here is going to be long-term. And it's very encouraging that the Division I Council stood strong last night and said, hey, we'll consider all of these requests here, conferences that you've made for relief, except one. You do not get to extinguish the opportunities for athletes on your campuses, at least below those minimums. But John is absolutely right. There's going to be some tough choices. And any volleyball coach at this point that isn't thinking about a booster club and about trying to rally some support that is both physical support and financial support for their program is not preparing for what's going to be the new normal.
And I think it's like out-of-system play. You know, to use another volleyball analogy, we don't pass perfectly all the time. And you establish systems and train a significant amount of your practice on when a ball is shanked. So a ball's going to get shanked, and you got to be ready for it. And I think a ball got shanked, and we're running around trying to scrap around and win that point. And that's where we're at. And I the other thing I've thought about recently, particularly in discussions that we've had over the last few years with athletic directors and decisions they make, and we've had a lot of great momentum building up to this point in volleyball. Boys volleyball is the fastest growing sport in America. We've started 17 new programs with the efforts of the First Point Volleyball Foundation. 60 new scholarships. So we're going in the right direction. Obviously, beach volleyball has been so successful. So our sport is growing. Women's volleyball programs are selling out arenas and starting to really build some buzz. A rising tide lifts all boats. We are in a rising tide. We have to survive this moment. And the way that particularly that men's volleyball will protect itself, I think we need to build value in what we offer athletic departments and fans. And I've been thinking a lot about social media and how we get the word out and how we build a fan base and how we can generate revenue and how we build a booster club and how we support the efforts of the entire athletic department. I know this fundraising system, I've been giving it away to our water polo coach, and I gave it to our fundraising development department. I'm like, hey, how can men's volleyball help you? And I feel like we have to be servant leaders in this moment. And I think that's really something that we as a sport have to do. And we have to use the opportunities that social media provides for us to get the word out about sport. We've lamented for years that we haven't been in the mainstream media markets. We're not on ESPN. And here's an opportunity for us to maybe do something that does get the word out about our great sport. And in this moment, I think it's imperative that we do. So I think it's about building value in the sport that we all love.
Great words from Kathy DeBoer, the executive director at the AVCA, and John Sprague, head coach of UCLA and the USA men's national team. Appreciate taking the time this afternoon and just giving us the update of everything that's happening with this proposal that's going up for the NCAA.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.